Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? Okay, praise the Lord. If you all can hear, please do so. We're gonna start with prayer. And please bow our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful Sabbath day, your holy day each week. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the chance to partake on this very special day for the changing of the showbread. Praise and bridle my tongue and all the tongue that may speak on your behalf. From this study to the sermon hour, the steps to Christ reading, all the way up to the beginning of the 4 p.m. study. Thank you, Father, for helping us to have the desire to keep your commandments. Thank you, Father, for being a so loving Father to us, for sending your only begotten Son to die for our sins. And thank you so much for making it so possible for us to perfect our character, for we cannot do it on our own. Thank you for that price, the eternal life. We love and praise the Godhead family, and also please forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and please answer our prayers according to your perfect will also. Thank you, Lord, for the answered prayers. Thank you for everything. With the help of the Holy Spirit and in Jesus Christ, our Commander and King, we pray. Amen. So, Sabbath blessings. Today is the 11th of March, 2023. And our study for today is the last part, the continuation of calling sin by its name. This will be the part number 5. So, this part is mainly going to be focusing on acknowledging our iniquity. The character of our Creator God has been misrepresented by many, for they not know Him. The First and Second Testaments, or the Old Testament and New Testaments, are given to all humanity as an evidence of His love toward human beings that He created. For our Father gave His only begotten Son to die for our sins, and also to teach us daily how to walk righteously. Just when our King Jesus showed us how to walk righteously when He was with us 2,000 years ago. The true character of God, of Israel, is experienced by His people when His Ten Commandments are kept. The enemy of soul made it so difficult for most people to repent because most of are afraid to even confess and repent from their sins because they think that God is a tyrant, because the enemy of soul is portraying our God as a tyrant. But only if most people open the Word of God and see His true word of perfection, they will see how awesome of a loving God we have. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 13 and 14. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 13 and 14 says, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So our King, our Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead family are constantly pleading with humanity to turn from sin and to obey God in righteousness. Even King David did not hesitate to acknowledge his own sin. Psalm chapter 51 verse 3. Psalm 51 verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. So for those who have done the same sin, grievous sin like David did, the same sin that when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, this verse can be looked at by those who have committed the same sin of adultery or any grievous sin. And we all know that God forgave David, and David is going to make it home as well when he wakes up. So don't listen to the lies of the enemy of soul, because the same we all understand the guilt, even the how simple of a sin may be, we feel so guilty of the sin that we made. But at the same time, the enemy can use that guilt to pound on us, to keep asking God for forgiveness when we already prayed. And the 1 John 1:9 promise is spent for the purpose of defeating the enemy of soul. Don't pray 20 times for the same sin that you already asked forgiveness for. As long as we're sincere and repented from it, the Lord heard it and would forgive us. So for those that have done grievous sins and think that it is impossible to be forgiven by God, ignore Satan and bring the sincere confession and repentance before the Lord. And another beautiful verses comes from Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, 6, and 7. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, 6, and 7. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. So seeing these beautiful promises from our God, this is a relief, daily relief. And these verses also we can share to those who are always contemplating of walking away because of the sin they have committed, or beating themselves up, pounding their chest with their hand daily. So these verses we can share to them, because of how much of a benefit these verses can give to someone to bring them to Christ and to take the guilt away. And Matthew 18 was also written to properly approach a brother or a sister who is in error, to bring him or her back to the fold and to walk together in righteousness. We do not put everyone down. We do not call them out to shame them when anyone sins, because we ourselves are sinners. For the unrepentant minister, it is our duty, it is the duty of all church members to call sin by its name, by proper jurisprudence. The one that is being approached in regard to his sin and unrepentant, he would think that he may be being shamed because he was being approached. Not so. Because in 1 Timothy 5:19 and 20, 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 19 and 20, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So this is just the process of how the Lord do things. He laid out the perfect rules. Without showing partiality. But the wicked who turns to the Lord and repent from sin will have more chance of making it home than those men of the cloth today, if they purposely deceive the people for filthy lucre's sake. There's a lot of those today. They know they are deceiving people. They know what they're doing. Hopefully, they wake up one day. We just have to keep them in prayer. One experience shared by Pastor Nicholas, when someone told him, just fake it. Make it entertaining. So he knows what he's doing. That whoever that person or pastor told Brother Nick to pick. So our beloved Brother Nick did the right thing from walking away from the church. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 21 and 22. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 21 and 22. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. This is another promise that we can show to those individuals who are seeking the Lord, who think that they have no more chance of making it home, or being so depressed because of how many sins they have done in their whole lives. This is the promise that they can benefit from as well. And for them seeing these promises from our awesome God, they will have the desire to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And we also have former brethren or former church members who accuse us of being holier than thou, because we want to obey what is written. Because God required us to do what is righteous. And such accusations will do more sin against Christ because we are His property. We are the property of Christ. If those who speak against us, if we speak against those who are trying their best to obey Christ, then we sin against our God because we're speaking against His property. We are just trying to read and practice what we read daily. Because it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God commanded us to be holy because it can be done. This quote from Signs of the Times, January 20, 1881, paragraph 16. Signs of the Times, January 20, 1881, paragraph 16 says, here are lessons which God's people at the present day should take to heart. There are grievous sins indulged by individual members of the church: covetousness, overreaching, deception, fraud, falsehood, and many others. If these sins are neglected by those who have been placed in authority in the church, the blessing of the Lord is withheld from His people, and the innocent suffer with the guilty. So before continuing, do we see this happening today? Why there's not a lot of blessings in different churches of today? Because the leaders who are sitting down and speaking on these pulpits, they are not preaching what the Bible says to preach, because they will lose their dollars flowing into their pockets. Having 501c3s, continuing, the officers in the church should be earnest, energetic men, having a zeal for God, and they should take the most prompt and thorough measures to condemn and correct these wrongs. In this work they should act, not from selfishness, jealousy, or personal prejudice, but in all meekness and lowliness of mind, with a sincere desire that God may be glorified. In humanity, false dealing, prevarication, licentiousness, and other sins are not to be palliated or excused, for they will speedily demoralize the church. Sin may be called by false names and glossed over by plausible excuses and pretended good motives, but this does not lessen its guilt in the sight of God. Wherever it may be found, sin is offensive to God and will surely meet its punishment. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 and 13. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 and 13. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for iniquity that he had committed, he shall die for it. So when some proclaiming to be Christians say that they are saved, but yet continue in iniquity, they deceive their own selves, and only using the name of Christ as a cloak to take away the reproach. by diligently meditating on His law, this will help us to recognize sin by its name and also to help others. Because when we obey our Lord, He blesses us with the eyes to see. Christ showed us an example to have the Heavenly Father on His side by keeping His law. And Jesus, our King, will be on our side as well when we keep His law. John chapter 8, verse 29. John chapter 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. But the Father hath not left me alone, for I always do. For I do always those things that please Him. So if we do the will of the Father, to do the things that please the Father, our King Jesus also is always going to be with us daily, as He is with us right now, in the midst of us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Micah chapter 7, verse 19, Micah chapter 7, verse 19, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. So this is another beautiful promise that we can share upon those who are struggling, with their trust in God. And this is another beautiful promise, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So brothers and sisters, and to those that we are going to be sharing this with, we are to take His word for it. There is one thing that the Godhead cannot do, is they cannot lie. Once the Lord said it, He will do it. Once the Lord says something, it's 100% true. There is no gray areas in it. For everything that Jesus said will come to pass, and still will come to pass. Each of us have different struggles in our walk, brothers and sisters. And whatever struggle that we may have, this one toehold can be used by Satan to keep us captive in his fingertips. So let us put our trust in Christ, because He is able to do everything that we ask of Him, according to His perfect will. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. And when He was coming to the house, the blind man came to Him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto Him, yea, Lord. Trusting in Jesus and asking Him to help us with our unbelief, which sometimes come to mind when we have trials. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I having this trial, or why is He here? Where is He at? So we must put away those different questions that will produce doubt, that is being used by the enemy to put into our minds. So if we completely surrender to Christ our trials and our struggles and be obedient to His law, whatever the outcome will be, He will not condemn us. The lesson that we can learn from John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. When Jesus had lifted Himself up Himself, and saw none but the woman, and he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, and sin no more. So day by day, we are studying the Word of God, whether it be by audio, whether it be whatever time you have, we must find the time to spend with the Lord, because just imagine how many angels are protecting us, sent by our God. So it is our duty to give that time to Him, to stop stealing time from the Lord for not studying His Word. Yes, most of us have jobs, most of us are in schools, most of us have families taking care of little ones, but we have that time. There is 12 hours in a day. And when we study our Lord's promise, His precious Word, it will become easier for us to call sin by its right name. Signs of the Times, October 30, 1901, paragraph 11. Signs of the Times, October 30, 1901, paragraph 11. Let sin be called by its right name, and let it be purged from the church by confession, repentance, and reformation, that the members may not present before angels. And men a misrepresentation of the truths they profess to believe. So brothers and sisters, if there are some among us who are still living in some sort of sin, whatever it may be, let us confess and repent. Or if anyone has a problem or sees something that may offend them, that they see on other church members, please approach the church members and not call or text another brother or sister over the phone to discuss what they see, to discuss their lives. Please go directly to that brother or sister. Hey bro, there is something that you're doing that is kind of offending me, or sister, this is something that, you know, I kind of find this weird out, for example. Do not call another brother or sister to discuss it with them, because this will become a gossip. This will create division among the church members. And a knowing church member will now wonder why is he being avoided by another church member, but he doesn't know what's going on. But our God knows. God sees. God hears everything. So now is the time to put away the fighting, gossiping, to put away inappropriate conversations, inappropriate relationships. Now is the time to stop stealing from the Lord. Talking about the tithing, stealing from the Lord can also be if we're not studying the Bible and we're just doing our own thing. That is also stealing from the Lord. If we're not doing the work, that is also stealing from the Lord. Stealing the time that He blessed us with. Now is the time to put away the walk of the flesh. Now is the time to put away all the idols that gives us distraction from keeping His law. Now is the time to put away all unrighteousness that separates us between God. Another quote from Review and Herald, December 1st, 1896. Review and Herald, December 1st, 1896, paragraph 10. The law of temperance must control the life of every Christian. God is to be in all our thoughts. His glory is ever to be kept in view. We must break away from every influence that would captive our thoughts and lead us from God. We are under sacred obligations to God, so to govern our bodies and rule our appetites and passions that they will not lead us away from purity and holiness, or take our minds from the work God requires us to do. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think this is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, if I'm not mistaken. So it says here, I know some of us have jobs and schools and also have going to schools. We are surrounded by unbelievers, and anything that the unbelievers do around us, we must be very careful and mindful, especially those that we see in here. If people around us playing worldly music or watching things that they shouldn't be watching, we are to keep our guard up and make sure our thoughts will not be stained by the things of the world. Because it says in Romans chapter 6 verse 16, Romans chapter 6 verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We all came out from different churches who are in apostasy. And it's now our duty as a whole church body to obey the Lord who redeemed us through His Son, our King Jesus. If we are faithful and true, as He is faithful and true to His promise, we will receive the expected end, and that is everlasting life. Having meekness and humility of character, brothers and sisters, don't mean to stop aiming high. We can also aim high, but for this time, aim high for the glory of God. Aim high that will uplift the name of our God. We will be decreasing, and every time the people around the world will see us Christ followers, he will see the character of Christ in us because we are attached to the vine. So aiming high for the glory of God, to use it for His service, is acceptable unto our Creator. We were once in the world and aim high to glorify ourselves, which only gonna lead to our demise. But now that we are purchased by our King Jesus, we do our best to aim high for the godly standard that he commanded us. In Christ's object lessons, 330, paragraph 2. In Christ's object lessons, 330.2 says, God will accept those who are determined to aim high. He places every human agent under obligation to do his best. Moral perfection is required of all. Never should we lower the standard of righteousness in order to accommodate inherited or cultivated tendencies to wrongdoing. We need to understand that imperfection of character is sin. All righteous attributes of character dwell in God as a perfect, harmonious whole, and everyone who receives Christ as personal Savior is privileged to possess these attributes. So brothers and sisters, our Lord, our King Jesus, provided the remedy. So never listen to the enemy's whispers to think that it's impossible to overcome the defects of character. there are some characters, there are some defects in our characters that the Lord allows. Because, you know, as the Lord break the bones of the shepherd, break the bones of the sheep, so we can always reminded of Jesus, that we need to rely upon Him. And if we keep relying upon Him and trusting in Him, that bone that is broken, or whatever struggle we may have, He's going to help us get through it. Because the Lord knows we can get through it with His help. And that's why the trials, that's why the struggle or the defect in character is being permitted by God to have, to change us, to perfect us. It's some type of a training daily. So don't let any, if you hear someone say to you that, oh, I cannot change, I'm doomed, I'm done, don't let that person say that to themselves, but share these words. Christ Object Lessons 331, paragraph 2. Christ Object Lessons 331, paragraph 2 says, let no one say, I cannot remedy my defects of character. If you come to this decision, you will certainly fail of obtaining everlasting life. The impossibility lies in your own will. If you will not, then you cannot overcome. The real difficulty arises from the corruption of an unsanctified heart and unwillingness to submit to the control of God. So brothers and sisters, if there's any of you or any of us here struggling with some type of sin, please don't say you cannot do it, because you are putting a smile into Satan's face and believing his lies that you cannot overcome. Yes, you can overcome. The Lord, our King Jesus, did not die on that cross just for us to fail. The Lord died for us because our King knows that Satan is already defeated. It is our cooperation with our King that our character will be changed to 100% perfectness in the Lord. Christ Object Lessons 332, paragraph 2. Christ Object Lessons 332, paragraph 2 says, stand like Daniel, that faithful statesman, a man whom no temptation could corrupt. Do not disappoint him who loved you, that he gave his own life to cancel your sins. He says, without me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. Remember this. If you have made mistakes, you certainly gain a victory if you see these mistakes and regard them as beacons of warning. Thus you turn defeat into victory, disappointing the enemy and honoring your Redeemer. So to see our error, let's say every time we commit sin, brothers and sisters, every time we do something wrong to our brothers and sisters or even an unbeliever, and it will hit us, like, oh, what have I done? What have I just, even in a thought, you made one thought in your mind that you're not supposed to think about, and it will hit you. And as beacons of warning, the Lord is helping us, because without Him we can do nothing. So the Lord is helping us daily to remind us, oh, you messed up on this part and you need to work on this. The Lord will help us to work on the things that we need to work on, and we are so thankful to that love that He gave us. So our King, brothers and sisters, is getting us ready for the marriage, and it is our duty to call sin by its right name and to abide in Jesus daily, to please our Heavenly Father by keeping His law, the perfect law of liberty, the Ten Commandments. when our Lord speaks to us daily, when we study His Word, He also trains us to get us prepared for the great day of the Lord. Hosea chapter 3 verse 3. Hosea chapter 3 verse 3. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. So this is the Lord talking to us as a church family. We abide with our King for many days. So the day in prophecy is a year equals a year. So while we are waiting for our King Jesus, we abide with Him many, many years. And we should not play the harlot. And we should not be for another man, because Jesus is for us. And He will also be for us. So I hope and pray that we are blessed by what is shared this Sabbath day.